Last week, I talked to you about the first beatitude in Matthew 5. You may turn there if you like. Matthew 5, the first beatitude is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I didn't schedule really ahead of time this Sunday necessarily. I didn't make things come together, but this Sunday we're at the next beatitude. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Matthew 5, 4. I don't like to mourn. I'm an optimist. I want to believe the best and move on. Mourning often seems too painful. But Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." It almost seems like it says, "Happy are those who are sad." We'd like to rewrite it as, "Blessed are those who have no tears at all." Jesus says, "My followers will have reason to mourn, and contrary to our natural way of thinking, those who mourn are blessed and they will be comforted." Luke 6, Luke writes this a little bit differently. He says, "Blessed are those who weep now, for they will laugh." The language in Luke recalls Psalm 126, where it says, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." And Matthew recalls these words from Isaiah as he presents Jesus' statement here. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," this was written by Isaiah to those who were returning from exile. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." That scripture from Isaiah is also part of the scripture that Jesus quoted when He began His ministry. Isaiah speaks of comfort for those who mourn the plight of Israel following their return from exile. So this mourning that Jesus talks about, it's not limited to grieving at the grave. It's not limited to sorrow over personal sin. It's mourning the condition of the world as it now exists, and all of the loss and the suffering that we experience in this world. It's like Simeon. You remember Simeon? He was at the temple. He would be at the temple praying all the time. And he was there when Jesus was brought to be what they did in that day as child dedication. When Jesus was brought to the temple, he said, "Behold, the consolation of Israel." It's what he was waiting for. He was waiting for that consolation, for that comfort, for a new age in which sorrow would no longer reign. That's what's being talked about here with Israel and Isaiah. And so it's mourning over the shooting in Las Vegas. It's mourning over the difficulties that we have here. It's mourning over the injustices that people experience. It's mourning over our suffering. It's mourning over our own sin. And Jesus says, such persons will be comforted. It's written in the passive, meaning that it's not something we do, it's something that God does. God comforts us. He'll transform the world, turning mourning into joy. We find that theme throughout Scripture. Again, from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, 13. "Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow." And from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. This comforting reversal of the current scheme of things is a matter of hope. And yet, it is hope that begins to be fulfilled now, even as Jesus speaks, not just the future. His assurance of comfort is itself a foretaste of the comfort to come from above. Just a word about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are not just a list of Christian virtues. In fact, they're not commands if you look at them, but they're promises. So with their promises, they tend to validate the way of discipleship as a whole. Those who follow Jesus in this promise will find that they mourn the condition of the world with the loss and the suffering that we and others experience. And the promise is that we will be comforted. Knowing this, we don't need to avoid mourning. We can mourn. Rather, we can experience it and allow ourselves to feel it because there is hope for comfort. The comfort will be complete in the future, but we may begin to experience it even now. So there's three things that I'd like to say about comfort this morning. The first is to find comfort in the promise of God's comfort. There's actually comfort to be found in knowing that the loss, the suffering, the brokenness that we now experience will not last forever. Again, that's part of the theme in the Scriptures. Revelation 21, 3-4 says this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." There's comfort to be found now in knowing that our mourning, whether for ourselves or for those we love, will not last forever. This does mean that we have to cultivate a view of our world that is not, "This is all there is." We have to be able to look beyond that. When I think of this concept, I think of how I feel when life is difficult and work is hard, and knowing that after a while I'm going to have a day off or a vacation. It helps me. Or I think of some of the Negro spirituals sung by slaves who experienced ongoing reasons to mourn in their lives. And they would sing songs like this one. "Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. My Lord calls me, He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds it in my soul. I ain't got long to stay here." The theme of hope and comfort beyond this world or our current situation runs throughout Jesus' teaching and His call to follow us. But God knows that we cannot make it through all of the suffering and loss and brokenness of this world with only the promise of comfort to come. We're too frail to make it alone. So the second thing I want to encourage you to do is to look for God's comfort now. Often hear people say, "I don't know how someone goes through an experience like this without the Lord." They're saying, "This has been very difficult, but I have been comforted simply by walking with the Lord through this." So I'm saying this morning, look. We have to look for the Lord's comfort now. Because if we remain caught up in hopelessness, or if we refuse to accept that full and complete comfort will not come until this life is over, we may miss the comfort that God offers now. Comfort now may be found in a promise from God. It may be found in a hug or an encouraging word from a friend. It may come with some change in circumstance. It may come in communion with God as you worship and pray, or as you read His word and experience His presence. It may come as you receive God's forgiveness for your own sin. All of this is God's comfort now. Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There's comfort to be found in simply knowing that God is in control. Here He protects and He guides and He directs like a shepherd with his sheep. We may look for this, even as we mourn what we've not been able to control in the world. Finally, let your mourning move you to comfort others. I want to read to you again 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." We mourn not only over our own loss and suffering and brokenness, but over that of others. In the missional church on Tuesday evenings, we're learning that God reigns completely and fully in our world, but we don't really see it quite all there yet. And so we're called to join God in making His reign or kingdom apparent now. We're to mourn with others and begin bringing them comfort. And so this week, Brad is going to build a bridge in West Virginia to help people get to their homes. Mennonite Disaster Service is doing this because when God reigns and when God brings comfort, we believe that people will have bridges to access their homes across streams and ravines. Joe and Pat have sent money ahead to Guatemala to buy food that they can give to the people who don't have enough. Because when God reigns, everyone will have enough to eat. When God is bringing His comfort, everyone will have enough to eat. Julie serves at Watoto because when God reigns and when God is bringing His comfort, every baby will be loved and held and nourished and cared for. Many of you have fostered and adopted children because when God reigns and when God's comfort is coming to us, everyone will have a family. Many of you have shared a meal or a ride with someone who cannot get out on their own because when God reigns and when God brings His comfort, we won't be homebound or hungry or lonely. Many of you have offered words and notes of encouragement or comfort because when God reigns and when God's comfort is coming, there won't be discouragement. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in their troubles. Mourning with others is the beginning of the motivation to bring comfort for others. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So find comfort in the promise of God's comfort. Look for God's comfort now. And let mourning move you to comfort others. It's how it works for the followers of Christ. I'd like to ask you to stand. Ask the worship team to come up. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes your words are so upside down from our world, it's hard to believe it. But you call us to believe it, Lord. And so we believe that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we won't be afraid to mourn. And in our mourning, we will look for your comfort, Lord, both knowing that it will come fully and completely, and one day there'll be no more of this mourning. But we'll also look for your comfort now. And Father, we will, as we mourn with others, Lord, be moved to bring your comfort to them, just as you have comforted us. So that's my prayer for each one here this morning, that in our mourning, in whatever area of life, whatever we're dealing with, Father, that we would be comforted by you. In Jesus' name, amen.